Imagine standing alone against the tide of an entire nation. This was Dietrich Bonhoeffer's reality in Nazi Germany, where his theological convictions led him from the safety of academia to the dangerous world of resistance. Born in 1906 to a distinguished German family, Bonhoeffer's journey represents one of history's most profound moral evolutions, from brilliant theologian to conspirator against Hitler. What makes a man of peace join a plot to assassinate a dictator? This question lies at the heart of Bonhoeffer's extraordinary story. His life challenges our comfortable assumptions about faith and moral courage. When he declared that silence in the face of evil is itself evil, he wasn't offering a pithy quote for social media. He was articulating the conviction that would ultimately cost him his life. In our age, where moral compromise often masquerades as pragmatism, Bonhoeffer's radical commitment stands as both inspiration and uncomfortable challenge. Would we risk everything for what we believe? The Bonhoeffer household uniquely blended intellect and faith. Karl Bonhoeffer, a renowned psychiatrist, brought scientific skepticism, while his wife Paula provided religious devotion. This environment allowed Dietrich to develop a worldview that seamlessly integrated faith and reason. Music was central to family life, with Dietrich showing early talent at piano. These musical foundations shaped his theological understanding of harmony and community. Even during wartime, the family's Saturday musical evenings continued, finding in classical music a refuge from Nazi ideology. In 1920, 14-year-old Dietrich declared his intention to become a theologian, boldly stating, "If the church is feeble, then I shall have to reform it." This wasn't mere teenage ambition, but a defining conviction. His choice came after witnessing war's devastation, his brother Walter's death in combat, and Germany's defeat, revealing a faith forged through confronting real suffering rather than naive optimism. At university, Bonhoeffer emerged as an exceptional theological mind. His doctoral dissertation, Sanctorum Communio, defined the church as Christ existing as church community, a concept that would later fuel his resistance to Nazi ideology. While others treated theology as abstract theory, Bonhoeffer insisted theological truth must be lived. His time in Rome was pivotal, where he encountered the church as church for the first time. The Catholic Church's universality contrasted sharply with German Protestantism's nationalism, later informing his opposition to the German Christians movement that sought to align Christianity with Hitler's racial ideology. At Union Theological Seminary in America, 1930-31, Bonhoeffer found what he considered insufficient theological depth. In New York, he observed, they preach about virtually everything, only one thing is not addressed. Namely, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the cross, sin and forgiveness, death and life. However, at Harlem's Abyssinian Baptist Church, he discovered authentic Christianity that challenged his European perspectives. The congregation's spiritual vitality, under Dr. Adam Clayton Powell Sr.'s leadership, opened his eyes to America's racial injustice and religious hypocrisy. His friendship with French pacifist Jean Lasserre led Bonhoeffer to deeply examine pacifism and nationalism, planting seeds for his later commitment to peace and international Christian solidarity. As Hitler consolidated power in 1933, Bonhoeffer watched the German church rapidly embrace Nazi ideology. The German Christians movement emerged, recasting Jesus as an Aryan hero and replacing church symbols with swastikas. The question is really, Bonhoeffer observed, Germanism or Christianity? When the church implemented the Aryan paragraph excluding Jewish Christians from ministry, Bonhoeffer defined three crucial church roles: questioning state injustice, aiding state victims, and, when necessary, putting a spoke in the wheel of the state itself. He maintained that excluding Jews violated the church's essence as Christ's body. If the church excludes Jewish Christians, it ceases to be the Church of Christ. While many Germans yielded to Nazi anti-Semitism, the Bonhoeffer family showed remarkable courage. During the Jewish business boycott, Dietrich's grandmother, Julie, openly defied SA intimidation, declaring, "I shall buy where I wish." Bonhoeffer's experiences as a pastor in Barcelona had taught him to empathize with societies marginalized. His pastoral approach, offering genuine comfort rather than empty platitudes, would define his ministry as he confronted Nazi oppression. As Nazi control tightened, Bonhoeffer became instrumental in establishing the Confessing Church, a movement committed to maintaining Christian orthodoxy against Nazi influence. In 1935, he was appointed to lead an underground seminary at Finkenwalde, embodying his vision for authentic Christian community rooted in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. The seminary's daily routine emphasized collective and individual spiritual disciplines. Morning and evening services framed each day, with periods of meditation on Scripture encouraged. Bonhoeffer approached leadership not as hierarchical authority, but as servant ministry, demonstrated by his willingness to perform kitchen duties alongside students. Most radically, he reintroduced personal confession among his students, reviving Luther's practice of Christians confessing to one another. When the Gestapo closed Finkenwalde in 1937, Bonhoeffer remained undeterred, establishing collective pastorates as covert theological training. These communities continued forming pastors committed to authentic Christianity rather than Nazi ideology. Haven't we all wondered what kind of formation produces people willing to risk everything for their convictions? Bonhoeffer's answer was clear: communities practicing radical discipleship together. As Nazi persecution intensified and Germany marched toward war, Bonhoeffer faced an agonizing decision. Having briefly visited America again in 1939, he chose to return to Germany despite friends' warnings. He felt compelled to share his nation's suffering, believing only through this solidarity could he rightfully participate in Germany's eventual rebuilding. Through his brother-in-law Hans von Donjani, Bonhoeffer was introduced to conspirators planning Hitler's overthrow. In 1940, he joined the Abwehr, military intelligence, as civilian cover for resistance activities. His official role involved using ecumenical contacts for intelligence gathering, but he actually worked to inform Western allies about German resistance efforts and help Nazi victims escape. Operation 7, which smuggled 14 Jews into Switzerland under Abwehr cover, revealed Bonhoeffer's willingness to move beyond theological statements to direct action. His unfinished work, Ethics, grappled with these moral complexities, moving beyond simplistic understandings of truth-telling to emphasize responsible action before God. Sometimes, he concluded, faithfulness requires breaking conventional moral rules. Arrested on April 5, 1943, for aiding Jews and resistance activities, Bonhoeffer spent his final 2 years in prison. His letters from this period explored religionless Christianity, critiquing superficial faith while seeing Christ's lordship beyond religious boundaries. Following the failed July 20, 1944 plot against Hitler, Bonhoeffer was moved to concentration camps and executed on April 9, 1945. His last words were, "This is the end, for me, the beginning of life." Decades later, Bonhoeffer's influence spans theological spectrums. Conservatives value his orthodox doctrine, progressives his pursuit of justice. His religionless Christianity speaks to faith's relevance in secular society, while his lived convictions challenge comfortable Christianity. Bonhoeffer's enduring impact stems not from providing all answers, but from posing essential questions that connect Scripture with worldly suffering. His legacy shows that authentic faith means bringing heaven's reality into earth's brokenness, regardless of cost.